Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We want to start a new series this morning. It's flowing in the vein that we've been talking about the last few months, talking about newness of life and taking new territory, about how God says, I want to do a new thing. I want to do a new thing, and the new thing is going to look like, God says, new roads in the wilderness and new rivers in the desert. Amen. So if things have been looking dry, don't get discouraged. God says, I want to put some rivers in the thing that looks like a desert for you. I want to bring some water. I want to bring some life into your life. I want to bring a new road. I want to what looked like a wilderness, just nowhere to go. It's a wilderness. You kind of go around and you just look in the circle and you just look around and it's like, okay, where am I going? And all of a sudden you look again and it's like, oh, where did that road come from? He's got a road for us. Because roads take us places, right? Country road, take me home. Roads take us someplace. They take us someplace. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And so he has a road. So we don't have to figure everything out. We just need to follow him on the road to get us to our destination. Amen? And then he's got a road for us corporately, even as a church, to travel on together. So there's roads for us to go individually, and there's roads to go as couples, as husband and wife, and then there's a road for businesses, for churches. There's roads. He's got a road for us. It's taking us somewhere good, because he's good. Amen? So let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want to talk about this phrase. We're going to start talking about this phrase this morning anyways. Against hope, believe in hope. So we're going to read Romans chapter 4 and start in verse 12. I'm going to read out of the New King James and then I'm going to jump over to the King James. But I just want to read through this first off and then we're going to start digging in. Verse 12. Now, you know what? Let's just back up to verse 11. It says, and he received the sign of circumcision, talking about Abram, a seal of the righteousness of which is of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of those who believe. So Abraham is the father of those who believe. All right? And so verse 11 is talking about Abraham. So we can see verse 12. The who's he talking about? The father of circumcision. Well, he's talking about Abram. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So say steps of faith. Steps of faith. So there are steps of faith. And this chapter goes through steps of faith that we're gonna pull one out. We're gonna pull one out and begin to talk about it this morning. Steps of faith. So let's go ahead and pick up in verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not, or be not as though they do, or New King James says, calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. And this was, and it was therefore accounted to him, Abraham, for righteousness. So, we see here the steps of faith. I want to quickly touch on verse 17, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time in verse 18. Verse 17 says, "And as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were." So this is one of the first steps. One of the first steps is to believe God and then call things that be not as though they were. Now, having taught this for decades and even teaching it in the Bible school in Red Deer, this, and then we do the exam, this is the question that most people get confused on. And I'll spend extra time teaching and extra time training and extra time explaining. And it's still, I don't know if it's the way it's worded, calling things that be not as though they were. But I just want to quickly give an analogy to help us get it. And then we're going to move on. So, for example, how many have dogs, pets? Okay, so there's, you know, if you're in a room, or let's say you're outside and the dog is not there, but you want the dog to come, what do? You call them, exactly. You call them by their name, right? Another analogy. Let's use this. Let's say you're at home. And your family members, so your husband or your wife or your children are not in the room, but you want them to be in the room, okay? So what do? Call them. Now again, it's important that we call them the right thing, right? Because my stepson is Matthew. So if I want Matthew to come in the room, I call Matthew. If I call Matthew, my wife Audrey doesn't come, right? Because I didn't call Audrey, I called Matthew. But if I want my wife to come, then I would call Audrey. And who wouldn't come? Matthew, exactly. See, why? Because I didn't call him. So because I didn't call him, he didn't come. So when God says, listen, if there's something that you see in the Word of God, what the Bible says calls a great and precious promises, but you don't see it in your life, you need to call it so it can come. And so that's the first thing we did when it came to Jesus. Being born again is a great and precious promise. We weren't born again, so what did we have to do? Call on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. Amen? It's just very straightforward. So it's the same. If we want healing in our bodies, we need to call it so it can come. And if we want healing in our knee, then we call healing and we talk to our knee and we call it healed. Lord, I want to thank you that you bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and by your stripes I was healed. And if I was, I am, and so now I talk to you, knee. I say, line up with the word of God in the name of Jesus. Be healed, be healthy, be strong. Full freedom of motion in the name of Jesus. Right? So we call what we want so it can come. We don't complain about what we have and expect something to change. We call what we want so it can come. We tell what we have that we don't want, we tell it to go, but it's not enough just to tell it to go. We need to call what we want. Right? It's not just enough to say, you know what? Be gone, pain, be gone, pain. Well, what do you want? You know, lack, go, lack, go, lack, go. Well, what do you want? Want some money, want some provision, want some supply. Well, we need to talk. So we need to speak the word of God, calling the things that be not as though they were. So we need to talk. For example, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth became without form and void, and God said, boy, Jesus, did you see how dark it is out there? It's dark. It's dark, dark, dark out there. How much darker could it get? I don't know. No, that's not what it says. It says, God said, light be, and light was. Why? Because he called what he wanted. Light be. It was a command. And light was. Light be, light was. So he didn't talk about how dark it was. Did he know how dark it was? It was obvious. But he didn't talk about how dark it was. So that's verse 17. Does that kind of help? Call things that be not as though they were. Why? So they don't stay that way. We want things to change. We need to take the great and precious promises and begin to speak that and call what we want. Call it the way we want it, not the way it is. Verse 18. Verse 18 says this, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. So, who against hope believed in hope, who against hope believed in hope. This is kind of a funny phrase too. But it's very important that we understand this. The word against in the Greek can be translated beyond and opposed. Opposed to. Beyond and opposed to, or we could say opposed to and beyond. And the word hope just means expectation. Hope is not wishing. Hope is an expectation. Matter of fact, it's a confident expectation. Wishing is wishing. That's why it's called wishy-washy. Because there's no confidence. There's no stability in wishing. Wishing is just, you know, it's kind of like your Christmas wish list. What would you like? Well, you know, these 25 things. Am I going to get it? I don't know. Maybe not. You know, depending on how much everything on the list cost. So sometimes you just throw in a real low number of thing in there. Just so, at least I can know I'm getting one thing. You know, I just know, right? It's wishing. But hope is beyond wishing. See, we have this kind of connotation, this kind of idea, wishing and hope have kind of found themselves in the same bag, but Bible hope is not wishing. Bible hope is confident expectation. Confident expectation. Now it's funny. So against hope, he believed in hope. So how can you be against hope and believe in hope at the same time? How does that work? Well, let's dig into this. We found out, we understand, if you understand about Abram and Sarai, God had been talking to him. Matter of fact, when Abraham was 75 years old, God said, I want you to leave home, leave town, leave your family, and I want you to follow me, and I'm going to take you to a land, take you to a place. And then he started talking to him at 75. His wife was 65. And she's been barren her whole life. You know, not just for a year or two. Right? Her whole life. You know, so if they were married in their late teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, they tried to have kids. And all she heard was, no, 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 no. So after you hear no's for that long, your expectation is no. No. And now God shows up and he says, you're going to have a child. Completely contrary to their expectation. No, 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 no. No, no, no. God says, yes. 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 And so the natural expectation is no baby, no baby. God's expectation was baby. Do you understand that? So that's how two expectations or two hopes show up in this verse. So in order for Abraham and Sarah to enjoy the yes expectation of God, becoming the father of many nations when you have no child, God called him Abraham before he even had a child. God calls things that be not as though they were. And so in order to enjoy the yes promise of God, he had to do something with the no expectation, the natural expectation. In the natural, the answer is no. In the natural, the expectation has always been no. And now they're at an age where basically, you know what? We're not even planning a yes anymore, because them days have come and gone. And then God starts talking. So, Abraham, he needed to be what? He needed to be against and opposed to natural expectation, which was the no, no baby. And he had to choose to do what? He had to choose to go beyond that natural expectation to experience God's expectation. So against hope, he believed in hope. Against the natural expectation, opposed to the natural expectation. And the reason he was opposed was because God said something different. So you can't have both. When God says, fear not, only believe, that means we're either going to fear or we're going to have to believe God. But if we choose to believe the lies of the devil and hang out in the fear, we can't do both. It's one or the other. And so he had to be opposed to the one in order to enjoy the other. I remember hearing about how monkeys are caught. You know, you got the big clear bucket and you put bananas in it, but the bucket or the container actually has a real skinny neck. So the monkey can get its hand in, grabs the banana, and it will never let go of the banana. And so all the guys have to do is come and just beat the brains out on the monkey, and they got monkey stew at night. And all the monkey had to do was go whoop and run off. But no, it just hangs on to the banana. We can't hang on to the banana and enjoy the promises and the blessing of God at the same time. It's one or the other. Amen? The banana or life? Banana or life? The no or the yes, right? It can't be both. It can't be both. So he chose to go beyond natural expectation and to believe what God expected. Now, here's another question then. How does Abraham know what God expects? Because if we can figure out how Abraham knew what God expected, then we too can know what God expects for us. Right? If we can figure out how did he know, and we take that same principle and apply it to our lives, we too will know what God expects for us. And then it makes it very easy to be opposed to the no, and we can choose the yes that God has for us. And so we see here, verse 17 makes it very clear. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. And the end of verse 18 says this, according to what was spoken, so shall your seed be. In other words, God told him what he expected. See, this is the amazing thing about our Father God, is he doesn't just leave us on our own to try to figure things out ourselves. He tells us what he wants. He tells us his will. He reveals to us. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the new covenant, we have been given the Holy Spirit. When we got born again, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of us. And one of the things that he does is he shows us things to come. He helps us know what's coming. This is part of being led by the Spirit, is that we're listening to him. Philippians says this, that we're to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. We follow the peace. I remember one day I was downtown Calgary and I was walking. I checked out some tattoo places, and I was going to the tattoo place. I got out of my car, parked my car, and I'm walking to the tattoo place because I designed a cool tattoo and I was going to get my tattoo put on. And I'm walking, and every step closer to the tattoo place, I think I was leaking peace everywhere. This peace, the closer I got, the less peace I had. Until I got to a spot, and I just stopped, and I said, "Lord, I understand. I'm sensing this. The peace is leaving every step I took." And so I said, okay. And I turned around and I'm heading back to the car. And every step I got closer to my car, every step I got farther away from the tattoo place, the peace was coming back again. We're to allow the peace of God to rule in our heart. If we just keep following after and going where there's no peace, it's a clue. It's a clue. I had to pay attention to the clue. Because you know, sometimes we can be clueless by not paying attention to the clues. You know, the red flags and all that kind of stuff. Let's not be dense. The Lord will endeavor to help us best he can. But the choice is ours. Say, the choice is mine. See, the choice is mine. It really is. The choice is ours. But he's going to help us make the right choice. Isn't that good news? He'll help us make the right choice. So I'm going this far, and I just turned around, and then the peace started coming back. Not that there's anything wrong with tattoos, but my wife is not interested in tattoos. So, and we weren't married at that time. So all of a sudden, it's like, see, for me, it was wrong. For others, it's not. Okay, that's fine. But I'm actually responsible for me. Amen? So I need to follow God for me. And for me, that was not the thing for me. So, okay. Absolutely. Hallelujah. And my wife appreciates that. Hallelujah. So God told him what he expected. He'll let us know. It's very important. He's for us and not against us. Amen? So let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, because we want to read about how God talked to Abram. Genesis chapter 15. And we see, starting in verse 1, Genesis 15, starting in verse 1, says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Abram. See, it's not enough just to not be afraid. What do we have to believe? What do we have to choose? He says, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Now, it's interesting. We're going to take a little bit of a side journey just on this verse because I think this verse is powerful and we have no clue what it says just by reading it in the English. He said, do not be afraid, I'm your shield. That Hebrew word shield also means defense. I'm your shield, I am your defense. So I like to say this, he's our avenger. He's defending and protecting us. He's our avenger. He's defending and protecting us. And avenge is actually one of the words that the word salvation is included in. The word salvation is avenge. And so when I saw that, it's like, that's actually too cool also. He's our avenger. He's our avenger. Hollywood didn't come up with avenger. God is our avenger. He's defending and protecting us. And so he said, listen, I'm your shield. I'm defending and I'm protecting you, and I'm your exceeding great reward. Now, the word exceeding, I'm your exceeding great reward. The word exceeding means to speedily, fast, and quickly. Now, who knew that? But in the Hebrew, that's what it means. I'm your exceeding, speedy, fast, quickly. Quickly and speedily. And the word great is the Hebrew word that means increasing, enlarge, to multiply, and to be full. And the word reward means wages, salary, and worth. Wages, salary, and worth. So God said, because after these things, matter of fact, if you just bump into the end of verse 14, or chapter 14, you'll find out that Abraham went and set Lot free, right? Because Lot was caught. The king of Sodom, you know, took them captive. The armies came and took Sodom and Gomorrah captive and took everything. And so Abram and 300 of his staff from home went and kicked their butt. And so then the king of Sodom showed up and said, hey, you know, good job. Why don't you keep the stuff and just give all the people back to me? And Abraham said, no, I've already lifted my hand. And if I give you the stuff, you will say that you made me rich. Let it never be said that anyone made Abraham rich but Almighty God. So he said, no, you can have the stuff and you can have the people, except the stuff that my men have already eaten and, you know, the stuff we've already, our expenses. But you can have everything else. So he just won the victory. He got all this spoil, and he just gave it all away. Looks like he's got nothing. God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm your shield, and I'm defense. I'm your avenger. And I'm quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying your wage, your salary, and your worth. Because before the king of Sodom came, Melchizedek came, which the Jews have recorded as Shem. Noah's Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Melchizedek. And so Melchizedek came, and Abram gave tithes of all. Before the government showed up, he gave his tithes. Then he gave the government, I think we can do the same thing. Our tithes before the government, then give the government. So, he gave tithes of all. And with that, God said, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your defense. I'm your avenger. I'm taking care of you. I'm quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying your wage, your salary, and your worth. I'm your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. And so then from there, Abram said, because I mean, that's mind-boggling. He said, well, Lord God, verse 2, what will you give me seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house shall be my heir. You're giving me all this stuff and I have no one to give it as an inheritance. I don't have a child to give as an inheritance. I'm having to give my inheritance to someone who works for me, not my own child. Now, if you notice in verse 2, it says this again, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? Seeing I go childless. Here was Abraham and Sarah. And it was Abram and Sarai at this moment, but I'm just going to say Abraham and Sarah. At this point in time, he just lets you know what they saw. All they could see was childless. Amen? That's all they saw was childless. What are you going to give me seeing I go childless? In other words, that's what he saw. That's what they saw. That's all they could see. When it came to their future, all they could see was childless. God had to get them to see something else. Right? Because you and I are experiencing what we see. If all we can see about our future is this, then that's what we will continually get is this. But if God wants us to have this, we're going to have to see this in order to exchange it from this. And when it came to, remember, the no answer? No, no, no. All they could see was childless. All they could see was no. But God is going to have to do something to help them see something different. He's going to have to expand their vision, expand what they see, expand their expectation. Amen? In order for them to get a certain expectation, they're going to have to see something new. They're going to have to see something they haven't been seeing before. They're going to have to look at something and expect something they haven't been looking at or expecting before. So Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. All of a sudden, he's getting some new vision right here. God's telling him how it's going to be. God's telling him his plan. God is revealing to him now something they're not even considering anymore. How can that be? But God said it. Sometimes we might look in the Word of God and there's just a great and precious promise. It just seems like it's too big. It's just too much. How can you do that in my life? How can you do that for me? How can that even be possible? But we need to see it. God said it so we can see it. God said to him, no, it's not going to be that way. That's not my plan. My plan is that the one who will come from your own body, he will be your heir. Then God brought him, Abram, outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So shall your descendants be. So shall your seed be. Seeing I go childless, all I can see this. Now God says, listen, you're going to have a child from your own body. Now go outside and I want you to look at the stars. Count them if you can. Because so shall your seed be. So shall your seed be. So shall your seed be, your descendants be. He's giving him a new vision. He's giving him something new to look at. Every time he hears a no, 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 he has to do what? Go outside and look at the stars. No, no, no. Go out and look at the stars. Yes, yes, yes. Amen? What does that mean for us? Every time you're sick, you're broke, it's not going to change, it's not going to happen. You're not good enough. You're not worthy. You go to the Word of God. And you open up the promise that contradicts the lie that the devil is trying to put on you. Open up the promise and say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Behold, what manner of love the Father has for me that he's made me his child. He loved me and gave himself for me. He's made me the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath. My God shall liberally supply everything I need, everything I want, all of my business, all of my income, according to his riches and glory by the Christ Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you. You bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. By your stripes I'm healed. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord who heals me. You're my healer. You're my healer. You're my healer from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And you are quickening, 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 making alive my physical mortal body from the top of my head, top of my head, top of my head, all the way to the bottom of my feet, everywhere in between. Hallelujah. Every cell is filled with the very life of God. Every cell. I'm being quickened. You satisfy me with good as long as I live so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Can you see? You get the promises and you begin to make yourself look at what God said over and above. See, we become opposed to the lie. We become opposed to what the devil's saying. We become opposed to the thing that's contrary to the promise and the Word of God. We must become opposed to that. We may find ourselves still living like that, right? It doesn't change overnight. But living this way and being opposed to it can happen at the same time. We can be dealing with a physical condition and still be opposed to it. As we are working the Word, as we're taking steps to change our life, taking steps to change our future, we can still be living in this, but we must be opposed to it. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to give up. There's no giving up. I might find myself here, right? When you go to the big mall and you walk in the front door and you want to go to a certain store, you got to find that sign, right? That says, you are here. Because when you know where you are, then you know how you can get to where you're going. So we need to understand. Listen, we are where we are. Don't get so hung up about where you are. Just get excited about where you're going. Knowing where you're going. Amen? If we get too hung up at where we are, we tend to stay where we are. We get discouraged and we sit down. And then what happens? We're still here. Let's not stay here. We're here. We're here. We're here. But I understand. According to your word, you have a destination. You have a great and precious promise. And I'm going that way. And I'm going that way. So I'm calling things that be not as though they were. And things begin to change. Things begin to change. And we begin moving away from where we were. Not because we're focusing on where we were. Not because we're so discouraged and our attention is given to where we were. But our focus and our attention is where we're going. See, it's interesting. Sometimes we get so hung up on sin. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Quit doing that. Quit doing that. Lord, I apologize again. Lord, I apologize again. Oh, it's the 957th time. I apologize. I apologize. I apologize. And we get so hung up on sin. But Galatians chapter 5 says this. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, the focus is not Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. Because if all we're thinking about is don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, what are we going to do? Sin, because that's all we're thinking about. We get what we think about. We get what we focus on. So God says, listen, quit focusing on the not sinning. Quit focusing on the sin. What I want you to focus on is walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Word, walk in the Spirit, walk in love, walk in faith, walk in joy, walk in the Spirit. Walk, walk, walk in line with the Word of God. Walk in line with that. And before you know it, it's like, wow, it's been a long time since I did that sin, or, you know, it's the gap is getting longer and larger and larger. Why? Because the focus is not on sin. Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't do that, don't say that, don't watch that, don't do that. No, 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 it is walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a Bible key that's very important. God has set things up. Listen, it's important for us to focus on where we want to go. And so we focus on the great and precious promise, whatever it might be. We're sitting in a room with a bunch of people here. In other words, there might be dreams and desires, and there might be needs and lack that are all different. So there's a great and precious promise for each and every one of us. The book is full of promises. And matter of fact, it's not just one healing verse. The book is full of it because God is very interested in our healing. There's not just one prosperity verse. The book is full of prosperity verses. There's not just one wisdom verse. It's full of wisdom. Because God is very much interested in us enjoying life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living. This is his plan for us, John 10:10. And so he goes overboard to help us enjoy and get the good things in life. Amen? So God told him what he expected. And that is what the Word of God does for us. Right? God told him what he expected. As you were reading your Bible, and it's important that we read our Bibles. Now, whether it's paper and leather or whether you read your Bible online, right? You know, you've got it on your phone. As you read the Word of God, take God at his word when he says stuff. And as you spend time in his word, and as you spend time in prayer, as you spend time praising him, he'll start giving you answers. He'll give you answers here, and then he'll give you other answers, but they will always line up with here. Because not all the specific answers are in here, right? They're not all in there. Like what house? What? I mean, the house number's not there. The address is not there. You know, which woman, which wife? No. It's not in there. So we have to be led by the Spirit. Allow God to lead us, right? But that's in there. And so there are some things that we're going to have to, by the Spirit, get. God will say things to us. He says things to us through his word, and there are some specific things that he'll then say to us to give us direction, leading and guiding us. Amen? Hallelujah. He is for us. So God told Abram what he expected, and that is what the word of God does for us. We can choose. We can choose to go beyond natural expectation and believe what God expects too. So find the great and precious promise God has for you. And we're going to close in just a few minutes. Find the promise, the great and precious promises of God for you. Find the promises for you. I can't give you all the promises for you. I can share a few examples like I did this morning. But it's important that you and I personally Did you know our relationship with God is a personal relationship? Your relationship with God does not depend on me. My relationship with God does not depend on you. Your relationship with God can be at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen? You don't have to phone me up and say, "Hey, Pastor, can you pray?" You can just go, "Hey, God, I got a question. What do you think? I'm going to pray." Because you can pray. We can all pray. Amen? We can all spend time in the Word, and the Holy Ghost will lead and guide and direct us. Answers. It's a personal relationship. He loves to hang out with each and every one of us. We are very valuable to Him. I remember years ago, a word of prophecy came to me, and the Lord said, "I love the times that we have together when you pray." Do you know, He's saying the same thing to you. He loves those times together when you're praying, when you're working together with Him, when you're talking with Him. You can be praying at home. You can be praying in the backyard. You can be praying as you're going for a walk. You can be praying. You can just be talking to Him. Prayer doesn't have to be just, you know, on the knee and hands folded and rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, and you know what, now I'll lay me down to sleep. No, prayer is very personal. It's communication. It's just talking with God. Talking. "God, what do you think? What do you think about this? And I'm really not enjoying this, but what do you think? You got some wisdom? I'm asking for some wisdom in this area. Wisdom, some direction. I'm needing some help, Lord, because I'm not seeing. All I'm seeing is childless. All I'm seeing is no. It just seems like there's something more. Lord, there's something more. What more is there?" And then he begins to reveal to us. Because remember, Matthew chapter, I think, 7:7 says, "Ask and you shall receive." Sometimes we don't receive because we haven't even asked. Sometimes we just need to ask, what do you think? What's up here? Seek and you'll find. Sometimes we don't find because we're not even looking. And then he said, "Knock and the door will be open to you." Sometimes there's not any doors opening because we haven't been knocking. We're just walking down the street hoping doors will open. No, got to knock. Does that mean every door is for us? No. I mean, we can knock and it'll open. So it's like, yeah, no, that's not the one. I remember Bill Winston talking about one day when they moved to Chicago and they were starting their church, and they just bought a bunch of groceries and they were delivering them to the projects. And so he was going and they were praying, "Lord, lead us to the right house. And so lead us to the right place." And so they went with their groceries and they talked to someone and, "Oh yeah, I want groceries. I need groceries." And so as they were talking to him, it's like, "Yeah, no, that's not the right one." And so they moved on and they found someone, talked to someone, "You know, we got some groceries. God sent us and got some groceries." And goes, "Oh, Sister Love lives up there and she's believing God for groceries." So she went up there, they knocked on the door, she opened the door, and he says, "God told us, you know, we got some groceries." And she said, "Whoo, hallelujah, I knew God was going to take care of us," because she had her grandchildren. She was taking care of the grandchildren. Why? Because the kids were not taking care of their kids, so the grandma's taking care of the kids. So they got no groceries. She said, "See, kids, I told you God was going to take care of us. See, sometimes," it's like, no, that's not the right place. We knocked, door opened. It's like, yeah, no, that's not the right one. Knock, that's the right one. There's the peace. Peace. Amen? Hallelujah. We can choose to go beyond natural expectation and believe what God expects too, just like Abraham. Find the great precious promises of God for your life. We each need to do that for ourselves. Then decide to believe them and speak them out loud. That's calling those things that be not as though they were. Okay, so that's verse 17. But when you find these things, when God reveals these things, when you find these things, choose to believe them and begin to speak them out loud. It's not enough just to think about them. We need to think about them. But those things need to come out of our mouth in order to get us to move from here to there. That's what gets us moving. It's not just the believing, but when we hook up our mouth with what we believe. That is what gets us moving in the right direction. Amen? Glory to God.